From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and just one heck of a nice guy. Ask anybody, they'll tell you. Let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. I like this. It says, a pessimist sees the glass half empty. An optimist sees the glass half full. Another old classic. I like that. But then in reality, the glass isn't half empty. It's just twice as big as it needs to be.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
You think?
Some cool, some not so cool.
I'll bet.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
If you say so.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. Sure, it's going to happen. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1916. Samuel Goldwyn and Edgar Selwyn established Goldwyn Pictures. You notice that Mr. Selwyn didn't get his name on the business. Obviously, Goldwyn was the money man. That's usually how that works, you know. And it was on this day in 2004, the Malice at the Palace. Huge fight, a brawl. Involving both players and fans, broke out during an NBA game between the Indiana Pacers and the defending champion Detroit Pistons at the Palace in Auburn Hills, Michigan. The Associated Press called it the most infamous brawl in NBA history. Yeah, they must have been right, if we're still talking about it 20 years later.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
I always get the biggest kick out of these human interest stories that come down the pike, thanks to fellow bloggers like Carmine Sabia, who wrote an interesting article in Conservative Brief where he says that Donald Trump has promised mass deportations and people are volunteering to assist in those efforts. Wow. We've got thousands of retired law enforcement officers and military veterans who've stepped forward to be a part of the team to track and deport those in the nation illegally. Wow. And this has been confirmed, by the way, by Tom Homan, incoming border czar. He was on Fox and Friends Monday. And he said... Quoting Tom, he says, I shut my phone off Friday night because I couldn't handle the phone calls and texts and emails from thousands of ICE agents and Border Patrol agents excited about the rumor that I'm coming back. And I believe every word of that because I personally was excited to find out that Tom Homan was coming back. I mean, Tom Homan was not silent during the Biden administration, and we're all aware of that, right? I mean, you would have to have been living under a rock for the last 4 years not to know who Tom Homan is and not to have seen him on TV and all over YouTube. And even, you know, just in case, he was the former acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And he said, but more important than that, thousands of retired agents, retired Border Patrol agents, retired military want to come in and volunteer to help this president secure the border and do the deportation operation. So, of course, last week, Trump announced he was naming Homan to his new post on the Truth Social platform. That's where Trump makes a lot of his announcements. So if you want to keep up with what's going on in the Trump administration to be, that's a good place to do it. Truth Social. And on that post, he says, I'm pleased to announce that the former ICE director and stalwart on border control, Tom Homan, will be joining the Trump administration in charge of our nation's borders, including but not limited to the southern border, the northern border, all maritime and aviation security. I've known Tom for a long time, and there's nobody better at policing and controlling our borders. Likewise, Tom Holman will be in charge of all deportation of illegal aliens back to their country of origin. Congratulations to Tom. I have no doubt he'll do a fantastic and long-awaited job. Now, Holman subsequently spoke to Donald Trump Jr. on Jr.'s Triggered podcast. That's the title of it, Triggered. And it's on Rumble. And he promised shock and awe on the first day of the new administration when it comes to deportations of illegal immigrants. And I love this. Trump Jr. says, "What's your overarching message to Americans who are eager for major border action on minute one, like on Inauguration Day? 1 second in, how much will you be able to improve the lives of everyday Americans?" And Holman says, "I got three words for them. Shock and awe. You're going to see us take this country back. And look, like I said before, it isn't just about the deportation operation. This is about saving the children and about securing the border. What's the results? Less overdose deaths, less sex trafficking. For God's sake, one of the worst crimes around. Less migrants dying." And then he gave notice to MS-13. He said, "Notice to you, my game's bigger than your game, and we're going to take you out too." And by that, I assume he's also targeting Trendy or Agua. Says, "I can't wait to get started. I'm excited about coming back, serving this country again." And that's one thing I know for sure. Tom Holman is rubbing his hands together. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Can't wait to get started. He's been this way for the last 4 years. I think maybe deep in the back, the dark recesses of his mind, I think he's known this last 4 years that Trump would win again and that he was going to be an integral part of the Trump administration. And this is where it got interesting in his little chat with Donald Trump Jr. He says, "Took a huge pay cut, but my wife said, if you don't go back, we're going to get divorced because I'm sick and tired of you waking up every day pissed off about you not being able to do anything." That's exactly who you want in this. Some Democrat governors have vowed to stand against the deportation efforts. But this is where it got really interesting, because Holman had a strong message for them when he appeared on Fox News. And it was simply, get the hell out of the way. If you don't want to work, and this is a message to governors who oppose this, right? He said, if you don't want to work with us, then get the hell out of the way. We're going to do it. What it means is, rather than send 100 people to Boston, we're going to send 200 agents to Boston. We're going to get the job done. We have a mandate. I think the American people just gave President Trump a mandate. That's why he's elected, to secure the border, save lives, and deport people, especially national security threats and public safety threats. So if you're not going to help us, step aside. But don't get in our way, because there will be consequences. Just for the record, I'm going to be referring to President Trump as President Trump. Although most media is referring to him as president-elect, he was president before. So it is correct to refer to him, to any former president, as president. For instance, if I were talking about Jimmy Carter, I would refer to him as President Carter. Okay, I wouldn't, but it's correct to do so. All right. So anyhow, President Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, is now in a position where he has to defend himself. Now, okay, not exactly bring on lawyers, but I'm sure it might come to that, because the other side is made up of a bunch of people who psychologically are mental adolescents. They don't take losing very well. They never have. I mean, for instance, ever since the year 2000, the 2000 election, Democrats have contested every single election they've lost. It's just something they do. So here we have Pete Hegseth, who had to release a statement through his lawyer addressing reports that he sexually assaulted a woman in 2017 and paid off the accuser. Well, the lawyer stated that Hegseth paid the accuser to head off the threat of a baseless lawsuit. And he also fielded allegations relating to a tattoo of a cross on his chest. Now, paying off somebody like this, That's nothing more than handing success to a shakedown artist. I don't like that. But then again, I've never been put in that position. So, you know, I can't make a judgment in that regard. But Hegseth was accused of sexual assault in 2017 after an appearance at a Republican event in Monterey, California. And this is according to a statement that was actually released by the city of Monterey. Now, let's be clear about this. No charges were filed. Hegseth's lawyer, that is not a name that just flows off the lips. Hegseth. But Hegseth's lawyer, Tim Parlator, said Sunday that the woman who made the accusation days after that event, was the aggressor, although the city didn't mention that. So Parlator says he was falsely accused, and my position is that he was the victim of blackmail. Well, probably so. And Parlator added that Hegseth's encounter with the woman was consensual and that the payment was made to her as part of a confidential settlement several years after the police investigation because she threatened a lawsuit that Hegseth believed could have resulted in him losing his job as a Fox News host. And Parlator called it a case of successful extortion. And that's what really angers me about this kind of stuff. This is okay. Why hasn't she been charged? Well, the statement released by the city of Monterey, meanwhile, offered few details about the matter. But then again, Hegseth is a conservative. He's a Republican. And California, particularly Monterey, is very blue. Get my drift here? So it said that the name and age of the alleged victim is confidential, adding that there was a report of contusions to the right thigh in the alleged incident, and no weapons were involved. So the incident, officially speaking, occurred between 11:59 p.m. on October 7th and 7 a.m. on October 8th, 2017, according to the statement, which tells me they must have spent the night together. And let's see here. Okay, accordingly, the full police report, including its analysis and the conclusions reflected therein, is exempt from public disclosure pursuant to the aforementioned California Code sections. So this is part of the official statement from the city of Monterey. And they added that the code only requires limited disclosure of specific non-private information relating to complaints or requests for assistance. Now, Trump's transition team about Hegseth emerged. A spokesperson for Trump's team said in a statement that the president-elect is nominating high-caliber and extremely qualified candidates to serve in his administration. Mr. Hegseth has vigorously denied any and all accusations, and no charges were filed. And that's according to Stephen Chung. He made the statement, "We look forward to his confirmation as United States Secretary of Defense so he can get started on day one to make America safe and great again." So aside from the report, Hegseth has spoken out against recent attacks regarding a Jerusalem cross tattoo on his chest, as well as a tattoo on his arm that reads Deus Vult, which is Latin for God wills it. Now, that motto dates back to a Christian chant used as a rallying cry during the First Crusade in the late 11th century. So J.D. Vance also defended Hegseth in response to an AP report that claimed Hegseth was flagged as an insider threat because of the cross tattoo. Once again, more BS from the AP. So Vance wrote in a November 15th, that was a Friday post on social media platform X, he said they're attacking Pete Hegseth for having a Christian motto tattooed on his arm. This is disgusting, anti-Christian bigotry from the AP, and the entire organization should be ashamed of itself. And I'd like to throw in my two cents on that. If the Republicans, if the Trump team is really smart, and I think they are, they will make hay out of this right now. Start now. make hay out of the fact that the Associated Press is obviously anti-Christian. Let's not forget that this great nation of ours was built upon Judeo-Christian principles. So if you got somebody, the AP, I don't care who it is, Washington Post, New York Times, NBC, ABC, if they're going to point at the cross on Pete Hegseth's chest, then they are anti-Christian. Make hay out of it. Even if they're not anti-Christian, you got to start playing dirty. Just like the Democrats. Okay, maybe not. I don't like the idea of anybody playing dirty, and just because the Democrats do it doesn't mean we should. But we need to fight smart. Fight harder, fight smarter, you win. So point the finger at the other side and point out to the American people who just swept Donald Trump back into the White House just how anti-Christian the left is. I mean, their God is abortion. All right? Which is just a form of murder. Yes, there are exceptions. Now, Hegseth wrote on X that if he's nominated to head the Department of Defense, this type of targeting of Christians, conservatives, patriots, and everyday Americans will stop on day one. Well, I don't know how he plans to do that, but hey, just like my suggestion here a second ago. And just for the record, again, a reminder, he has served several tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. And he holds degrees from both Harvard and Princeton. I want to read for you an op-ed from the New York Post and Miranda Devine, who I think is divine. She comes by that name very honestly. And this is an op-ed with the headline, Nancy Pelosi is finished. No one deserves more blame for Dems' $1 billion electoral collapse. And she's right. In fact, I posted on my Facebook page a couple of days ago a photo of Nancy Pelosi, and I said, this woman right here is more to blame than anyone else for what's wrong with the country. And, I mean, the woman always comes across like she's drunk or out of her mind or senile or something. So this is what the lovely Miranda Devine had to write in her op-ed. She said, it's high time to shatter the myth of Nancy Pelosi as a master strategist. Nobody deserves more blame than the ridiculously self-titled Speaker Emerita for the Democrats' $1 billion electoral collapse. Under her ruthless leadership, her party lost the White House, the Senate, and the popular vote. You can't say that enough. Voters rejected the Dems coast to coast, even in Pelosi's deepest blue home city of San Francisco, which saw a 7-point swing to Donald Trump. She's the only speaker in history to have lost control of the House twice. She's finished. The Empress Emeritus has no clothes, perish the thought. And yet she still has the hide to reward herself with another term, filing the papers last week to run for re-election in 2026 at the tender age of 86. She'll be 88 at the end of Trump's term. When is too much enough? Her saccharine-coated, mean girl style of partisan viciousness and deviousness turns out to have done nothing for her party but postpone the inevitable reckoning between radical left and common-sense moderates. Unfortunately for the Dems, most of the latter have taken a hike under Pelosi's reign. If the GOP is Trump's party, the Democratic Party is Pelosi's, and what a viper's nest of blame-shifting and rancor it has become, as they all blame each other for their humiliating defeat at the hands of the man they derided as a Nazi. Most Americans didn't agree, and now the Democrats and their media handmaidens stand exposed as frauds and liars. If Trump is such an existential threat to democracy, as Pelosi insisted to the bitter end, then why did Joe Biden greet him with open arms and a beaming smile the other day? Welcome back, said the president to the man Pelosi vowed would never again set foot in the White House. I decided a while ago that Donald Trump will never set foot in the White House again as president of the United States or in any other capacity, she told The Guardian before the election when she was trying to justify the coup against Biden, her former longtime friend who she kept lying was sharp as a tack until he fell apart on live TV. With her party in ruins, the pent-up frustration with Pelosi's iron grip and flawed judgment is starting to find voice. Thank God. Expected to get louder as her efforts to offload blame on Biden leave a sour taste with party loyalists. Since the humiliating defeat, Pelosi's been filmed publicly squabbling with Donna Brazile, has traded barbs with Bernie Sanders, and has been ripped on The View with MSNBC. Now and MSNBC. That's right, because The View is on ABC. Not that I would know, because I don't watch the show. Can't stomach it. I feel my blood pressure increasing every time I have to sit through a clip, even a clip of The View. And anyhow, then Ms. Devine continues. She says, The Washington Post fact checker even awarded her 4 Pinocchios for lying that illegal migration was worse under Trump than Biden. Of course, we all knew that, right? The View co-host Anna Navarro called Pelosi nasty for telling the New York Times that the Dems would have won if Biden had quit sooner. She said, and this is quoting Navarro. Navarro says she wants to make sure people know it wasn't her, that she has no blame in this. It's really unseemly. Simone Sanders Townsend, MSNBC host and former Biden aide, blasted Pelosi for helping orchestrate the very public demise of the president. Nancy Pelosi, everybody talks about how the Speaker Emerita, you know, she's so strategic, she can count, she did all of that when she was a Speaker in Congress. But my question is, where is your calculator now? Anonymous Dem lawmakers vented their spleen to Axios last week. Said one senior Democrat of Pelosi, she needs to take a seat. Making scattershot comments, blaming others, is just not helpful. It's damaging. Hakeem Jeffries has been tremendously graceful and respectful of her, but I don't think she's being respectful of him. And that's a quote from another Democratic member of Congress, the Congressional Black Caucus. Now, Senator John Fetterman wasn't afraid to go on the record to express his frustration at Pelosi's toxic legacy. Quoting him, she embraced this. She's the godmother. She's the enforcer. And now she's blaming Biden. Well, you can't have it both ways. You got what you wanted, and now you're still blaming Biden. I think it's really ironic that you have a woman at age 84 and she's still hanging on. Why not give a younger generation an opportunity to occupy that seat? And then Miranda says, why not indeed? The only reason she's hanging around Congress is the same reason she demanded her successor as Speaker, Hakeem Jeffries, bestow on her the emerita title, her ego. She believes she's the only person capable of crippling Trump's second presidency like she did his first, and she's addicted to the adulation of a lapdog press, overly impressed with the fact that she's female. They even praised her classless, divisive stunt of ripping up Trump's State of the Union speech in 2020, standing right behind him at the podium for all the world to see. And I'm just going to jump in here for a second. I got so angry that night. I really got so angry. I almost threw something at my TV. Man, I wish I could meet Nancy Pelosi so I could just give her a piece of my mind. Believe me, I have plenty there to spare. All right, so Miranda continues. In her 2 decades of amoral, divisive leadership, the Democrats have become the party of censorship, scolds, war, and corporate interests. She devoted the twilight years of her career to her obsession with destroying Trump and his supporters, whom she slyly set up on January 6th, 2021, by refusing to give Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund the National Guard backup he begged for, and then turned the January 6th committee into her personal star chamber. All her hatred, the impeachments and lawfare and jailing of Trump allies served neither her party nor the country. Trump is back better than ever. Her party is in ruins and the country's been through hell for 4 years. At the DNC convention that anointed Kamala Harris as their doomed presidential candidate, Dems were seen sporting buttons featuring Pelosi and the word Godmother with her face on a poster for the iconic mafia movie The Godfather. If that's not an admission that she still runs the party like a mafia don, nothing is. It's true that she is a formidable leader in the Genghis Khan mold, as one GOP semi-admirer describes her, but what good were her dictatorial skills to the party she led off a cliff? She needs to ride off into the sunset for everyone's sake. A quick parting shot here. Kamala Harris' campaign shelled out nearly $2.5 million to Oprah Winfrey's production company for that celebrity-packed town hall it hosted, and it turned out to be more than double the initial estimate reported. Yeah, it was originally surmised that Winfrey's company, Harpo Productions, which is Oprah spelled backwards, right, had been paid around $1 million for the talk show legend's September town hall with Harris, but a new report shows that the dollar amount was greatly underestimated. So you got two people familiar with the matter who divulged that Winfrey's company had actually been paid closer to $2.5 million, still a mere fraction of Harris' estimated $1.5 billion campaign spending. So Oprah has denied receiving any personal payments. And I believe her. But a former advisor to the Harris campaign also said they didn't pay anyone for their appearances or support. Kid, who knows? I mean, come on. Toward the last couple of weeks of Kamala Harris's campaign, it was nothing more than just a huge Hail Mary, right? And Winfrey, for her part, said that she did not pocket any of the money and used it to pay her team, which I believe. She also noted that the Harris team was charged for what they required for the town hall. I believe that, too. Believe me. Oprah Winfrey is not in the business of losing money. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and Dustin Nickerson.
You know where I get a lot of fights with are with, like, dog parents, you know? I don't care if you have animals. I just like seeing animals do what they're supposed to do. That's all. Like, I live near a SeaWorld, all right? When orcas started eating trainers, I bought a season pass. That's what they're supposed to do. We named them killer whales, all right? Because sometimes when you're a dog parent, it gets a little off, you know? Like, I did a show with a dog parent. I knew we weren't going to get along from the start because I'm backstage going on my notes, and she wasn't going on notes. She was backstage open mouth kissing her dog. That's the right response. Thank you. And she looks at me like I'm the freak in the room. She sees me all grimacing, uncomfortable. She's like, well, you have kids, right? I go, yeah. And she goes, well, can your kids even do this? I said, sit on my lap and make out with me? Legally, no. And this is when the crazy starts to unravel, when they start talking to the dog, all right? She's like, ignore that big bad man. What do you want for dinner tonight, honey? Chicken or fish? Chicken or fish? Chicken or fish? And then she looks at me and she says this. She goes, you know what, sir? I believe that all animals should be treated equally, if not better than people. I go, really, all animals? All animals? What about chicken and fish? Feel like I'm seeing some inconsistencies here. This is why you need to stay in your lane and don't judge other people, because she got defensive and she got mean, and I came right back at her. She said, well, you just need to know that those little kids of yours, those little kids that could never fill your heart in the way my dog does. That's so mean. I was like, whatever, maybe that's true, but you just need to know your dog is gonna die way before my kids. And you might have to kill it, so. I think what it is in that moment, it's the lack of empathy towards a parent. Because parents, especially modern parents, like, there are new things that were not there before with new challenges. The phone. The phone has changed everything. We finally had to cave in and get my son a phone. Because a lot of time he would text me from my wife's phone, but I didn't always know who I was hearing from. So a while back, I hit the road, and me and my wife get in a big fight right before I leave. And the next text I get from her, sweetheart, she's listed as sweetheart in my phone, says, I'm sleeping at Pete's house tonight. Oh, I'm sorry, what's that? I respond back, who in the world is Pete? It's says, don't worry, his dad's home. What's happening right now?
Get on out there and make it a terrific day. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.